Hello and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilees. Many organisations base their annual pay review on a measure of employee performance, but it is important that the process is managed fairly to ensure that the scheme meets its objectives. With me to discuss the challenges and benefits of using performance-related pay is expert HR Managing Editor for Pay and HR Practice, Sheila Atwood. Just to be clear, Sheila, what do you mean by performance-related pay?
Well, this is where the employer will use reward to recognise employee performance, so perhaps through pay rises, incentive schemes, commission, bonus, profit share, and to some extent, employee recognition schemes.
We're going to focus on performance-related pay rises here. So what are those specifically?
Well, what this is where the employer links the outcome of their annual pay review to a measure of the employee's performance.
And is this a common method of rewarding employees?
Well, let's put this into context. Every year, Expert HR collects around 1,600 pay award details, and around a quarter of these are going to be based on employee performance. So that's in contrast to where, say, everybody gets the same percentage pay rise in that year.
So why don't employers just give everyone the same pay award?
Well, there's two things really that employers are looking to do. They want to motivate their employees to perform at a high level, but they also want to reward those employees that do so.
And is there any evidence to back that up?
There is, yes. Expert HR has recently conducted a survey of how 132 organisations use performance-related pay, and those two objectives come out as the top things that they're hoping that their scheme will achieve.
Okay, well, that's interesting, given that it's based on first-hand feedback from employers. In a nutshell, how does performance-related pay work?
Boiling it right down, employees are going to have their performance assessed, and then the outcome of that review is going to translate into their pay award.
Okay, so let's go through some of that process in more detail, starting with how an employee's performance might be assessed.
Well, the most common method is through an appraisal, so the employee's line manager will assess the employee's performance.
Okay, and how does the appraisal measure performance specifically?
Well, most commonly, it's going to look at the extent to which some pre-agreed targets have been met, but there's a couple of points here to raise. These targets, they need to be specific in what the employee has to do. They need to be able to be achieved by the employees, and it should be possible to measure the extent to which they've been met.
Okay, and whose responsibility will it be to get that right?
So this is where line managers come in. They really need to have those skills to be able to set those achievable objectives for the employee. But also, of course, the employee needs to be clear on how they're going to meet or even go beyond what is set in those objectives.
So what would the outcome of a performance review look like?
Well, here we're likely to get a rating. So employers can choose how many they're going to have, but probably between 3 and 6 is sufficient.
Okay, and what might those be?
So they're going to describe the extent to which the employee has met their objectives. So let's take as an example a scheme that has 4 ratings. That might be perhaps not met, part met, and exceeded. Employers could be a little bit more descriptive, say running from unsatisfactory up to exceptional. But for consistency, it's important that there are clear definitions attached to each of those levels.
Of course. How do those translate into a pay award?
Well, there's a couple of options for employers here. At the very simplest level, you could just have a rating and that translates to a single percentage pay award.
Can you give me an example of how that would work?
Yes. So if we take the example ratings I've just mentioned, perhaps employees rated as having not met their objectives, they won't get any pay rise. Those that have part met their objectives might get 1%, and then moving on up, those assessed as having met their objectives might get a 2% rise, and those exceeded would be awarded a 4% increase.
Okay, so that seems a pretty straightforward mechanism.
You're right, it is, but it actually doesn't allow for lots of flexibility in the pay scheme.
In which case, how can more flexibility be incorporated?
Well, another option that employers have is to specify a range of pay increases per rating. So let's take that example again. Perhaps those that have part met their objectives, they could be awarded a pay rise of, say, up to 1%, and then those that met their objectives, they could have anywhere between a 1.5% and 3% pay rise, and so on.
And in those circumstances, would the line manager be making those decisions?
They would, yes, as they're probably the ones that have conducted the performance appraisal, but they would be within those limits. And of course, you could give line managers complete discretion of where pay rises are awarded, but again, back within the overall pay bill budget.
Presumably, this point about keeping within the pay budget is important.
It is, yes. That's where all these decisions will come back to, making sure that they don't overspend the overall budget. Of course, there are other ways of introducing flexibility. Organisations could really target that spend within the budget by perhaps taking into account employee pay levels.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, this is where employers might want to think about pay progression. So how quickly employees are going to move up a pay structure. So here, there might be higher pay awards for those at the lower end of the pay scale, and then, of course, lower pay awards for those who are already at the very top of the pay scales.
So it has the potential to be quite complex, and there's really quite a lot for line managers to be on top of.
There is, yes, and line managers are really the hub of the success of a performance-related pay scheme. So there's quite a lot for them to get to grips with. They must have the capability to make consistent judgments on employee performance in those appraisals we talked about. And where there's this flexibility in the level of pay awards that are made, they've got to make fair decisions on those. And actually, unfortunately, this is one of the problem areas that was identified by the organisations that we've surveyed.
Okay, so presumably these pay decisions should be verified then?
They should be, yes. And most organisations will operate a system where higher level managers and then ultimately HR are going to review these line managers' pay decisions.
Sure. So where all of these processes are followed, do organisations actually achieve their scheme objectives, you know, as you mentioned earlier, to engage and then reward high performance?
Well, on the whole, employers feel that these scheme objectives are partially met, but actually they are more concrete on their views in that it ensures that poor performers are not rewarded and that they can make the best use of their pay budget.
And so does performance-related pay lead to noticeable improvements in employees' performance?
Well, not universally, according to our research. So the biggest impact is actually on the performance of those employees who are already performing at a high level,
right,
in that their performance is most likely to increase further.
Well, that's very interesting. So what about everyone else in that case?
Well, unfortunately, in many cases, it actually is shown to have little impact on the performance of those employees who are already performing at a fairly low level. But, you know, we should bear in mind employers shouldn't be using a performance-related pay scheme to address poor performance. They should really have other initiatives in place there.
Yeah. I guess as we're currently in a climate of low pay awards, I think the expert HR figure is 1.7% for awards generally. The pay rises resulting from performance-related pay reviews are quite low.
You're right, they are. And pay awards being too small to actually achieve this objective of motivating staff is a top issue cited by our survey respondents. And that's understandable. With 2%, it's very difficult to make a marked differentiation between the pay award for the average performer as opposed to a top performer. So, you know, perhaps in those situations, employers could think about other ways to reward and motivate their employees.
Well, on that note, listeners may want to listen to one of our podcasts from earlier this year on employee recognition. Thanks very much, Sheila. You've given us a useful insight into the practicalities of running a performance-related pay scheme and raised some of the issues that employers should be aware of. You can find more information in a brand new how-to on PRP on the site and, of course, the survey we've been discussing. So that brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Laura Merrilees. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.